but at least the white is an A&M color, and the logos were the same. They just had, it was just chrome instead of maroon or whatever. That was fine.
Sure.
But sometimes you see a team, and it's like, they have nothing in common with the school colors or anything. Those are the ones that I don't understand. If I can't figure out who you are in about 3 seconds,
you're trouble.
I don't like it.
I agree.
So there
we
go.
I agree.
That's our thought on everyone else's uniforms. We're going to talk about A&M's when we come back, because they've been hinting at special uniforms to be unveiled on Friday. We're going to make wild speculations about the jerseys when we come back. Y'all send us your thoughts, 229-1939. What do y'all hope are on there? Crazier ideas, the better. We'll break them all down when we come back. So stay with us for the second hour. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Listen to your favorite shows with Gabe, Louie, Aubrey, and Chip weekdays on the Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150. This is KZNE, KNDE HD3, and KNDE HD4, K274CM, College Station Bryan.
Jay Berman, Chip Kelly, the center of attention at Eagles camp, which is just the way he likes it, actually. First, he had to address the Brandon Boykin controversy.
New here, never had an issue with him. Was a great teammate, very well liked here.
All right, of course, Boykin was traded to the Steelers. Then Chip updated the media on the status of Sam Bradford.
Sam will do everything. Sam's cleared to go, full go. Every guy we have, all 89 guys are full go. They're up and they're going.
Meanwhile, the Giants finally made contact with Jason Pierre-Paul this morning on WFAN Radio. Team owner John Mara had this to say about JPP.
I think the best place for him would be here. The best support system is here around his teammates, the trainers, his coaches, the medical staff. This would be the best place for him.
Elsewhere, the Bengals' Michael Johnson out 4 weeks with an MCL sprain. Pittsburgh's Martavis Bryant will miss several days of training camp after undergoing a minor procedure to remove an elbow infection. And the Bills have suspended offensive line coach Aaron Cromer without pay for the first 6 games of the season. Misdemeanor battery charges against Cromer were dropped recently. All right, afternoon baseball, and that game is now in the books. Good debut in a Blue Jays uniform for David Price. He gets his 10th win of the season. Toronto beats Minnesota 5-1. Josh Donaldson had his 27th home run on the Blue Jays' side. Later tonight, good one in Pittsburgh, Cubs and Pirates. John Lester opposite Francisco Liriano. And lastly, Adidas has reportedly offered James Harden a 13-year, $200 million shoe deal. Nike has a chance to match. Jay Berman.
Working late? Traveling? We'll keep you company. I'm Amy Lawrence. After hours, 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern Time, weekdays on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Zinert with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by RP Elite Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rpelitepestcontrol.com. Lone Star Running Project is a new mentoring program where youth ages 13 to 18 will train with adult mentors 3 times a week to run a half marathon. Learn more about becoming a mentor at lonestarrunning.com. The City of Bryan is recruiting citizens to serve on one of its many boards, committees, and commissions. The application form is available at bryantx.gov. Each Tuesday morning through August 25th, the Texas A&M Physicians are providing a free diabetes self-management class from 9 to 11. For more information or to sign up for these classes, call 436-0400. Today, mostly sunny and 98. Tonight, partly cloudy and 76. The Bellucci Hour is back at the tap every Monday and Thursday at noon for your Aggie recruiting fix, and enjoy a $7.99 lunch special. Join Billy and Bryce at the tap or listen in right here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM.
From the rolling prairie to the piney woods and everywhere in between, a Mueller metal roof is always right at home. Our variety of panel styles and color choices complement your natural landscape, providing both outstanding beauty and protection to your home. And wouldn't you love to have a worry-free roof overhead? With a 30-year limited paint warranty, our energy-efficient coatings will provide a fresh and vibrant look for decades. Visit our website at MuellerInc.com to view our photo gallery and take advantage of the interactive color selector tool to help you decide which panel and color style best suits your style of home. Remember, every Mueller roof is made by Mueller in one of our three manufacturing facilities. And with 29 sales locations across the Southwest, Mueller is always ready to deliver friendly, personal service before, during, and after your purchase. Call us today at 877-2-MUELLER or stop by and see us soon to make a Mueller metal roof part of your natural scenery. That's 877-268-3555.
Green Teams welcomes the Texas A&M University Center and Special Events to its family of customers. Like many other businesses, Texas A&M Center and Special Events uses Green Teams for interior landscaping. Green Teams also offers short-term plant rentals for events like weddings and conferences. Make your work environment more pleasant with plants. For more information about interior landscaping, call Susie Gallagher with Green Teams, 823-7551. Green Teams.
Looking to showcase your business and get your logo out in front of the public? One of the most cost-effective ways to advertise your business is for your staff to be dressed in shirts with your company's logo. Send Monograms and More your logo today and let them get you started by outfitting your company's staff. They'll send you a proof and you simply go online to their website or drop by their showroom at 1806 Welch in College Station and pick out the right shirt styles for your business. It's that simple. Call Monograms and More at 693-7773 or go online to monograms-more.com today.
Listen in to the High School Coaches Profile, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozier. Listen in Tuesdays at 12:30 on the Louis Belina Show, powered by teamofnavasota.com.
We are caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals. It's a run in our blood, that kind of luck's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Welcome back.
You can call me Queen Bee.
Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Audrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. The song Royals, because we're trying to make wild speculation about A&M's jerseys. All we know so far is that they're going to come up with something on Friday that is going to be new. We don't know exactly what it is. We technically don't even know that it's jerseys yet. But the first tweet they sent out yesterday, or not the first one, the first one had the number 5 and whatever it said, but the second one had sort of a diamond encrusted shape of Texas, and the thing on it said Texas royalty. So who knows what that means? But we thought we'd dive in. Hit us up, 229-1939, wild jersey speculation. We're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the events coming to the season that dreams are made of, mscopus.org. Lots of great stuff, all the information on the website, mscopus.org. You can text us, 229-1939. They just had another one. So Aggie Football Life, their most recent tweet says, "Stay woke. Swag landing soon," and it has the swag copter, as it's come to be called, black with a gray slash potentially silver A&M on the side.
Stay tuned.
So the question is, what exactly are these things going to look like? The thing I'm interested to see, if A&M rolls out a black and silver uniform, I'll be interested to see
black and silver.
Yeah, that's my guess. That's my guess on what this thing's going to look like.
They're altering it one game.
Well, yeah, because they open with Arizona State, and they're both Adidas schools. This is not new. Every time that A&M has played Mississippi State, both teams have done something new.
Something wild.
So we kind of expected something different to come out with them facing Arizona State. Arizona State unveiled their new uniforms last week, but some of the reporters there said, and then according to the sources or whatever, those will not be the jerseys they will wear for the opener. They are going to wear something else also. In fact, some tweets from Arizona State players and stuff like that apparently have seen them, one of them saying that the jerseys that they will wear in the opener will get national attention. So
as opposed to A&M's won't get national
attention. Well, how insane does a jersey have to be to really get national attention? But Arizona State apparently going to wear something different also. I spent a not insignificant amount of time this morning. I came just short of texting the SIDs, but I thought that might be one step too far of seeing who the home team is in this thing. And best I can figure out is it's probably A&M.
I don't think it'd be A&M.
Yeah, but I couldn't find that for sure. My guess is that A&M is going to be in some sort of, it will be dark, and Arizona State will probably be in white or yellow, is sort of my guess. But are you in on the jersey game?
I'd be more interested in which team's going to show up and play well.
No matter
what the jersey.
But hey, it's August 3rd. So you got to see what people would want. I want to know if fans would be opposed to a black and silver jersey, because this does
with
go
not one bit of maroon. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's my guess. Yes, okay. I think these are going to essentially be an opposite version of what they wore at Mississippi State last year. Like, instead of white with the chrome, I'm expecting to be black with chrome.
Black with chrome
is kind of what I'm expecting. So, I mean, we'll see. I could be way off. They could look nothing like that at all. But that's my guess. See what people think. Would people be upset, black and silver?
All they care about is what jerseys they wear, they win. Because if they don't win that game, they never want to see those jerseys again.
Someone texted, Aggie's performance in gray jerseys makes you want to burn them and never see them and never speak of them again. I have been a noted hater of gray jerseys. I hate all gray jerseys. To me, they just make you look slow. I don't like it's
make you look average.
The only person who looks athletic in gray is Odell Beckham.
Who likes gray skies unless you're a writer?
No one likes gray.
Exactly.
Now, silver is different because then people, it's very, very
it's
different.
Glitter.
Like the Cowboys, silver is fine, but the gray is horrible. And even that sort of, what it wasn't quite gray, it was kind of like, it was kind of more charcoal. Whatever they wore at LSU a couple years ago, I didn't like that. I've never liked any gray, so get that out. But otherwise, we'll see. Black and silver would go against my, you know, you need to have some of the school colors on there. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe they'll look good enough.
We'll see.
Who knows?
I won't be anxiously awaiting that release on Friday, but I know you will.
Well, because I love to see the immediate reactions are my favorite.
Fans.
Well, and because there's no middle ground. Everyone is going to either
like it or don't.
Love them. The A&M is going to get every recruit of all time, or they're going to be the worst uniforms that have ever been donned in the history of college football. Somewhere.
Huh.
There's no in between. They're going to be one or the other.
I'd have to agree with you. That's the way it is.
From the two clues we've gotten so far, my guess is that they're going to be black and silver. But we'll see. Could be interesting.
You called your shots.
Someone said, all right, you pulled me back from, it's from John in Cyprus again.
John's got a busy day.
He said, I will be sneaking into the locker room to remove all bling. He says, the text auto-corrected to pickled. I'm assuming he means Pickard, but would not approve of bling on the jerseys. So we will.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Billy would be a little more traditional being his age.
Yeah, someone says black and silver with maroon helmets.
See, you got to have some maroon in there.
That would look weird to me.
That kind of look weird.
I will say, though, every time A&M's put one of these together, and this is what I've said before, if you hate the uniform combo, people like to, blame Adidas or blame Nike, but it's usually the school that okays these things. So
I would think you're just not going to wear anything they put out there.
Well, and A&M has done a lot. Every time A&M has broken one of these out, they've done a huge back and forth with Adidas. You know, we did a story on how long it took them to get together for the 1939 throwback ones they did last year and all the planning and everything that went into that. There's no reason to expect that these had any less planning going on with them, but there you go. We will see. Someone asked if we heard about the name change over at Shaggy Bevo, but I have not heard about that yet. I did see something about it. I didn't have time earlier to dive in on it, but someone did mention something about that. That's one of the I don't know exactly how you would classify Shaggy. They don't really do their own reporting, so it's kind of like a fan site.
Oh.
But it's sort of like a satirical fan site, so I don't know what people would consider that. But apparently they're moving their own thing too. Real quick, in other news, this was sad news. Sad news over the weekend. Not really sad, but kind of disappointing. So have you heard of the Hitchbot? You haven't heard of Hitchbot.
No.
It's this robot that basically traveled all the way across Canada. These Canadian guys put it together. It had, like, cameras and all these different things on it. And it traveled all the way through Canada with no problems. And, you know, there's, like, I think there's, like, a camera on it, and then it has, like, a little robot, like, face. Anyway, the whole idea is that you pick it up, it hitchhikes. It's a hitchhiking robot, thus Hitchbot. You pick it up for a while, you take it somewhere, and then the next person finds it, and they take it somewhere. And then slowly but surely, it makes its way across the country. And that's what happened in Canada. In the U.S., it made it, like, 3 days, and it got beat up in Philadelphia.
Somebody stole it.
Someone beat it up. No, they just they,
city of brotherly love.
Yeah, yeah. And it was someone on the they found the video of it on happening on one of the streets.
Can you get arrested for that?
I don't know. I'm wondering what the rules are here, because I don't know if robots have rights or not.
He wasn't dressed like a lion or anything like that.
No, but the guy that beat him up did have on, of course, an Eagles jersey, a Randall Cunningham,
Philadelphia Flyers,
a Randall
like
Cunningham throwback jersey, because of course he did.
It was silver and black.
If I had to pick a fan base most likely to beat up a friendly hitchhiking robot, it's going to be the Philadelphia
Maybe he
Eagles
thought it was Donovan McNabb, just walking strange.
just was on the side of the road. But apparently the poor robot is no more. Didn't make it across the U.S.
Oh, man, that's a sad story.
It was sad. Classic Eagles fans, though, right? I mean, those are the kind of people.
So tough in Philadelphia, even a robot can't make it.
Well, you know, I read on the different stories of things that the fans do at games, and there's always the fights and stuff like that. It makes me not ever want to attend any NFL game. I mean, like, every time you see a video online, everyone is just entirely too drunk, yelling at each other. There's fights all the time, throwing food at people.
You wouldn't want to go where people are drunk. I understand.
I don't get the whole trash talking. Like, why can't people just hang out and watch a game? It makes it look like a major hassle. Certainly, I would never take a kid to one of these games.
I understand. You're right. Yeah. Why would you?
Yeah. What's the deal
with
that?
Bad behavior.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, I've admittedly haven't been out in the crowd lately, because at A&M games we're always in the press box, but it doesn't seem like that way in college. Now, obviously, there's going to be an incident from time or two, but it seems like in pro stadiums, this is sort of just like expected now, that everyone just goes and gets crazy. However, it doesn't compare it to anything. I saw a video earlier from a soccer game in Israel, or it was over in the Middle East somewhere. One of the teams was Israeli, but there was a tackle in the game, and the guy got red card. It was the third red card of the game, and the fans got so mad they came out of the stands and ran the other team out of the stadium.
Oh wow, that's healthy. That's
second level right there. Fans are just on the field chasing people out. It's not good. It's not good. Don't do
that's
that.
That's not good at all. Not good at all.
There you go. An order of things not to take kids to. Apparently, Middle Eastern soccer is just above the NFL on not family-approved entertainment.
Wow.
Someone texted the uniforms from the 90s were the best. They were all right. I don't remember anything too identifying. I like A&M's.
Also remember, A&M was good during the 90s. So
right, that helps. That helps. I like A&M's base jersey now. It's just we see it so rarely that we don't really know what it even you forget what it actually looks like.
It's something different, the base jersey, because you see so little of it.
Yeah So
interesting.
We'll see what's coming on Friday. The Texas royalty cease. That got me scared when I first heard about it, because I don't know what that means. I'm envisioning like a crown on the side of the helmets or something ridiculous. But anyway, all right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, this is an interesting – we've had kind of a conversation about this before, but I want to kind of get your take as an old-school journalism. Is this something that you don't mind or something that bothers you? It involves the Dallas Cowboys, and we're going to talk about that when we come back. So hit us up, 229-1939, if you have anything that you want to talk about. Otherwise, we'll be back. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Spirit Ice Arena is cooling things down this summer with a schedule packed full of icy activities for you and your family. Our sensational summer camps have already begun and will continue throughout the summer. Ages 5 to 12 are welcome. We offer private skating lessons, Zamboni lessons, broom ball, hockey, and more. Plus, we host the coolest birthday parties in town. Come chill out with us during public skate open 7 days a week. For more information on all the cool things we have to offer, visit spiriticearena.com today. That's spiriticearena.com.
fall into fun with Bryan Broadcasting's Brazos Family Magazine. Find out how to keep your kids healthy with an article on the important checkups your child needs for back to school. And be sure to check out our after-school activity guide. Brazos Family is a local magazine full of local stories. For information about advertising in this back-to-school issue of Brazos Family Magazine, call Sam Jones at Bryan Broadcasting or email sam@bryanbroadcasting.com.
Water. Every living thing needs it to survive. The Texas economy runs on water, too. Even at home, water helps improve our quality of life. During the summer in Texas, however, pools can lose several inches of water due to evaporation every couple of days. That's about 120 gallons of water. The water we conserve today can serve us tomorrow. This important message brought to you by the Texas Water Foundation and the Texas Association of Broadcasters.
Hoppy Bridge is an Aggieland tradition, serving their mouth-watering food for over 20 years to the folks of the Brazos Valley. And they want to invite you to enjoy a burger that you've come to know and love, which has been named Best of the Brazos for over a decade. And enjoy their award-winning goodness with $1.75 drafts all day, every Wednesday at both locations. Hoppy Bridge, serving Aggieland the best big burger in town for over two decades on Harvey and Welburn, both in College Station.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Join Gabe and the TexAgs crew for TexAgs Radio. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. All right, well, this is one thing we've talked about lately as two members of the media institution. There was the fight over the weekend at the Cowboys camp. Dez Bryant fought someone, it's not important. And basically, a lot of people ran with it and all these different things. Today, DallasCowboys.com had put up the whole video of the fight as well as like reaction from the different sides. This is the interesting part of nowadays, teams cover themselves as much as we cover them. Everyone, I mean, A&M does the Studio 12 show, which is airs here on this station. They, of course, write their own things. They have video about everything. They have their own videos from practice that they do and all this kind of stuff. It's an interesting deal, but as this happens more and more and more, it becomes, it's hard to tell, you know, it's, how do they divide out, you know, what should and shouldn't be on there? Because I thought this was an interesting play for the Dallas Cowboys to put this up on their team website. The whole video, the reactions and everything, I thought was an interesting move.
Well, I think once again, this goes back to the NFL versus high schools or college. Let's say A&M has a fight first week into practice, and they film everything out there. And let's say Chavis is trying to get his defense motivated, and suddenly you've got a linebacker and a running back getting a scuffle out there, which is going to happen. We've all been around football long enough to happen. I don't see that going up on the A&M website because I think too many people would read it in it the wrong way. But if you're the NFL and you've got the reporters out there anyway, and you're the Dallas Cowboys. And it's like you said, what's amazing is we cover A&M athletes. They go on to the pros. you want to read about something about Johnny Manziel or Cedric Abuehi or Von Miller, you just, first part, or Tampa Bay Bucks, you want to go see what Mike Evans does, you go down to the Tampa Bay Bucks website, and there's video on there of Evans. There's unfiltered comments he makes. They are promoting their own site because they want a one-stop shopping, and it is competition a little bit to the beat writers. I think the NFL is a little bit different, but you go all the NFL sites, because I've been there to look about what Aggie's doing, and they have a lot of times reporters that used to be at newspapers working for them, a lot of times one or two deep, doing what amounts to be stories just like you would read in the paper, almost. Now, there's a fine line, and but they seem to have more leeway on the NFL sites than the college sites I've seen former reporters go to.
Yeah, and I just think it's interesting because, you know, you wonder if eventually, and I know that right now the fans don't necessarily see the importance of this, to think of, because we've got so many outlets covering A&M, for example, that if the team wants to cover itself a little bit, who cares? But the problem is if they cut big enough and force some outlets out, you don't want to get to a place where this is the only information that you can get, because they're obviously not going to report anything damaging to their own system or anything. I mean, this is a... I don't know. I just think it was an interesting play by the Dallas Cowboys, because this was and I know that a fight at practice happens all the time, but it's certainly not a positive story. You know, it's not necessarily something you really want.
The bottom line is, I felt like the Cowboys put it up knowing it was a pretty innocent fight. If it was a fight that was going to get somebody suspended or traded, a la the Richie
Incognito
or something like that, you're not going to see that put up on the website. They're going to say, hey, look, we're not putting that up on the website.
Yeah.
We'll let the Dallas Morning News and the Fort Worth Star-Telegram deal with that. You know, we're not going to do that. So once again, as you go to that site, it's closer to newspapers when I go to the NFL sites. But still, you've got to go get the papers, because I'll read analysis. And last year, I was reading, and they'll say, "Well, basically, Tampa Bay Bucks offensive line's got to get better if the quarterback's going to get better, or if they're going to be able to get the ball to Evans." But they're still not as critical or as unbiased as a newspaper would be, or a television station, or hopefully a radio. Because once again, is the guy that's writing that is probably getting $80,000. From the Tampa Bay Bucks or the Dallas Cowboys. So the bottom line is they know who signs the check.
Yeah, I just think it's a fascinating era that we live in right now, where teams cover themselves.
But they do want those hits. They do want those, because what my guess is, what they're thinking is also, is we get enough fans, keep going to our sites, we're going to sell more season tickets, we're going to sell more gear. They need to keep coming to our site. So there is competition. If you're the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, or you're the Dallas Morning News, you are competing with the DallasCowboys.com.
I'm a little bit fascinated with what the editorial conversations must be like on something like this, though, because I'm sure that part of the thought is, hey, if they're going to cover it anyway, we might as well cover it too. And we might as well be the voice on this thing. Yeah, they might get clips, or they might have a Vine or a quick video. We got the whole thing. We can put it out there. We can do a breakdown.
We can
do it better than anyone else can. But if it was something more negative, do they have full reign to post whatever they want? They have to run their stuff by some sort of team editor? I don't know. I'm fascinated by the whole thing. The whole thing is interesting.
That's a good question, because now you're seeing also what you're mentioning is, suddenly players with injuries in Major League Baseball, a lot of times they'll have to go ahead and say, well, this club released that so-and-so tore his ACL or something like that. So once again, is these clubs are realizing this is news. We need to, you know, we are the news, so sometimes we need to put the news out there. And what we've seen is their social media sites become more and more improved, and depending on what sport it is, the ones I look, by far, I think the NFL are the best sites if you look at them versus, and we've looked at Major League Baseball too, because we just went through the draft. So every year I get to kind of look at those and see how they are, because A&M had some players drafted that they signed, and they had some players on the team. And once again, I went on to the Houston Astros, and they had stories and film video of, Chris Farrell. I mean, not Chris Farrell.
Someone the kid from LSU.
No, the TCU pitcher from
Riley Farrell.
Riley Farrell. I couldn't think of Chris Farrell. Used to work here at the Eagle a long time ago. But I'm just saying, as you go to their site and you go to the Houston Chronicle, and really the Houston Astros had more things on Riley Farrell than the Houston Chronicle did.
Yeah. Well, it's just like I said, I keep saying the word fascinating, but as someone who lives in it every day and knowing what we do and don't have access to, it's interesting to me to see how these big teams and these big media outlets essentially they have become media outlets. They do their own thing. As someone texted, wait, I can make $80,000 writing stories. No, but you might be able to if you write for the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah.
And then if you go back, and it was fascinating, you talk about this situation, is I can remember going to a national APSE deal, and they're talking about one of the problems was, and the Jacksonville paper had a problem, because when this all started out, the Jacksonville Jaguars were one of the leaders on being on the edge of that, because the NFL had policies about when you could post footage on your website about live action at an NFL game. While Jacksonville.com was hiring former reporters, they were getting their deals out there, and suddenly it was a little bit we're talking about. The Jacksonville, forget the paper, is the Jacksonville Thor, said, hey, look, they're putting it on the site. We're saying we can't. You got to do the same thing for your club site. So there was some conflict, because when Jacksonville came in, they were very savvy in media. And if you go back, Jacksonville, if you can remember right, Jacksonville.com brought about three people in the time that Johnny Manziel had his had his pro day. And I go back to that meeting I was in. So every club has their own way of selling their product.
Well, we've run into this before here too, where we thought something was I can't think of the word right now, but basically we weren't allowed to post something until a certain time. Mm-hmm. And one group sort of
jumped the gun
on it, and it was A&M itself that did it.
Correct.
And so that was kind of an embargoed, was what I was looking
embargo,
for.
Embargo, yeah, excuse
and
me.
And that was an interesting moment, because the conversation was, well, does the embargo apply to them because they're not a media outlet? So we've had these conversations here locally also. But
so it was an interesting conversation that night.
I just think it's interesting the way the media works now. And like I said, I was just surprised the Dallas Cowboys had this on their website. But then again, the other side of it is, why not? If it's going to be on everyone else's website, it might as well be on yours
and
also.
You go back and look at that. Jacksonville.com was one of the first ones to have their own podcasts on their website, almost like newscasts. They had their own articles put up, and they found out it was very beneficial to getting their word out there for the Jacksonville Jaguars, much to the chagrin of the Jacksonville paper, yeah, which was competing against them.
Yeah, so like I said, it's a interesting look kind of behind the scenes of the media and how teams are starting to cover themselves, and in some ways, good on the Cowboys. I mean, if you're going to cover everything, you might as well cover everything.
And it would be interesting to see, and they might not release, they probably don't want those numbers, how many hits DallasCowboys.com gets, because are America's team. People love them, hate them. And the better your site is, no matter what you are, the more information you put out there, the better information and the better display it is, better you're going to be.
Yeah, so there we go. A little bit of interesting stuff today. All right, we're going to go to break. We will come back. Time for the high school report. We'll do that next. Stay with us. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has been booked at a Dallas area jail on felony charges alleging that he misled investors before becoming the state's top lawyer. Paxton arrived at the Collin County Jail today to be processed on two counts of first-degree securities fraud and a lesser count of failing to register with state securities regulators. The 52-year-old Republican was fingerprinted and photographed before being released on bond. Questions about Paxton's financial dealings have shadowed the Tea Party conservative since he took office in January. Two accidents yesterday afternoon closed intersections in West Bryan and downtown. Harvey Mitchell Parkway was closed for over 3 hours when a car on Sandy Point Road failed to yield the right-of-way to a southbound Jeep on Harvey Mitchell. The Jeep struck the car and rolled multiple times, but the driver did not require medical attention. The driver driver of the car was taken to St. Joseph Hospital in critical condition. The intersection at 29th and Texas was closed for an hour and a half while BTU made repairs to a utility pole. At about 4:45, a truck traveling north on Texas Avenue ran a red light and struck a car in the intersection heading east on 29th, causing both vehicles to strike the pole. The driver of the car was transported to St. Joseph's with non-life-threatening injuries. The driver of the truck did not require medical attention. And an additional traffic issue for Bryan motorists started this morning. Nash Street, which is the shortcut to and from Blinn College by the post office, is blocked to through traffic for the next 2 weeks. That's due to drainage improvements taking place in the area of Nash and Broadmoor. Weather permitting, the project will be completed prior to the start of fall classes at Blinn. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
The 12th Man Foundation is accepting applications for the 2015 Premium Services Concierge Team. This team works with donors and guests in the premium seating areas of Kyle Field during all home football games. Applications must be submitted by Wednesday, August 5th at 4 p.m. To apply, visit 12thmanfoundation.com and click the About tab to find employment information. Call 979-260-7596 for more information.
Come stand with the 12th man at all Texas A&M athletic events. You make a difference for our student athletes in our venues. Tickets are available at 888-99-AGGIE or visit 12thman.com/tickets. Thanks and gig 'em. Aggie fans, Texas A&M Athletics is always just a few clicks away on your digital device. Stay connected by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Visit 12thman.com/social media for a complete social media directory.
Water. Every living thing needs it to survive. The Texas economy runs on water, too. Lakes and rivers help bring tourists to our state to enjoy water sports and recreation. Tourism accounts for roughly $52 billion in revenue a year and keeps more than 500,000 Texans employed. The water we conserve today can serve us tomorrow. This important message brought to you by the Texas Water Foundation and the Texas Association of Broadcasters.
You are a smart person. You know what side the butter goes on. You can't help but bark up the right tree. You even know who let the dogs out. So in your search for the perfect job, why aren't you using AggielandHelpWanted.com, where smart people like you know the easy way to find a local job? Millions of other smart people know they can upload their resume for free in just minutes. Plus, it's smart and mobile-friendly, just like that science guy. So, smart person, use that freakishly large noodle and find a job on AggielandHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
Your home for fighting Texas Aggie football. Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. Now, it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Time for today's High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. Larry, what are they doing? What are the youth up to?
Well, today is the first day of volleyball and football workouts for everyone except the 6A teams or the 5A teams that had spring football practice. So it's that time. It's time to crank it back up. But we're actually going to the under end of the spectrum today. Kind of excited about having our guest on today. We're going to talk to our good friend Jim Slaughter. As you know, Aubrey, I was off the grid out of cell phone and internet range for some time last week. I got back this weekend and trying to just get my feet back under me and figure what's going on. And I look on Twitter and I see that Jim Slaughter, the former A&M Consolidated head football coach and AD who moved out to San Angelo, had retired, and they had a ceremony for him on his last day, official day at work on Friday. And I was happy for my friend, crushed to see that on Twitter and not as a breaking news story in the Eagle. So I had to give Coach a hard time about that. But we did want to talk to him, and there's a lot of things I want to ask Coach about. He's been kind enough to be on the show with us before. Coach Slaughter, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, thanks, Coach. As I said, you had decided to retire. Your last official day, even though I'm sure they still probably got you working, doing something, but your last official day on the job was Friday. Tell us about that decision, Coach. I find it interesting because, you know, I tend to think being in a sports writer or a coach ages you prematurely in most cases, but you are, without blowing smoke up anybody's skirt, you're very young for your age, and you certainly could have kept doing athletic director work. You could have kept coaching, but you decided this was the time to stop that. Tell us a little bit about the decision, and I imagine it couldn't have been real easy.
No, it wasn't real easy. I didn't want to be around to the point where people were going to start saying, "That old goat, are we ever going to get rid of him?" And also, I've had a lot of people ask me about, you know, Coach, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, I didn't have a very good answer for a long time. And then, and finally, and this part is I'm seeing coming true for me, is I'm going to do what I want to when I want to. Of course, there's another controlling factor on that. My wife and son have something to do with me having that decision to make. But it is nice not to have to worry about getting up early. I was always an early riser and to work early and stuff like that. And not having to worry about where I've got to go tonight. I kind of do what I want to. So far, it hadn't been a bad move.
Right. The way it's going to work out now, Coach, is Maury, your wife, is going to be the AD, and you'll be an assistant AD. So you'll know where to get all your directions.
Amen.
Coach, I want to ask you about this, and it's, I don't know if it's fair to ask such tough questions of a nice guy and a friend of the program who was kind enough to be on with us. But I'd like to kind of revisit the decision you made. What I guess it was four plus years ago when you gave up coaching the football team at Consolidated and went out to San Angelo. Now, you're a West Texas boy. That was where you were raised in that part of the country, and that was a big part of your decision. But as you look back, when I've talked to you at various times over those years, you seem to have been pretty happy with your lot in life. But I figure it couldn't have been easy not coaching. I'm sure you missed that a little bit. These
Most
4 years that you had in San Angelo, do you think you did the right thing when it came to that?
I enjoyed coming to San Angelo. I enjoyed my role that I played here in the athletic department.
I think that question was so long and so hard that didn't. Okay, there you are, Coach. I'm sorry, I lost you for a second with the length of my question. What about the decision to go out to San Angelo and quit coaching the Tigers?
Well, there was a lot of factors involved. One of the things they were fixing, of course, open up the new high school there at College Station. And I was going to be put into I was going to create a little bit of a problem on what they were going to do with me as far as athletic director. I was going to be in the role of being at the high school, one of the high schools, and having been the athletic director for the school district, they were going to have to talk me down or put me in another position or change that. I'm still going to get to be the head coach. And you were exactly right about family. I have a lot of family here in the West Texas area. I know a lot of people. And it was like coming home. I felt like I was walking into a good situation as far as the athletic program here in San Angelo was concerned. There's some great leadership here. Dr. Bonds, the superintendent, is extremely good with athletics and making sure that you get everything you need to have a winning program. So I felt like she's going to put me in a position where we could be good, and it's turned out we have been pretty good. So it was a good move, but it was a move that was very hard. You're exactly right, because I did miss the kids. I missed my coaching relationship that I had with the coaches that I worked with. So that was different for me, and it took a while to get used to that.
While I'm asking goofy and supposedly tough questions, let me ask you this. If you were officially done at the San Angelo ISD on Friday, today you're a free agent, so you can kind of say what you want. You've been a part of the Texas educational system, the UIL athletic system, for well, most of your life, and probably more when you count playing and everything. You've done that more in your life than you have not. If I made you king for the day, and you don't have school ties and you're just going to do whatever, is there one thing, Jim, that you would think that would be the first thing you would change about high school sports or high school football? I didn't warn you on that one, but you've been around it and you know what works and where there's, you know, things that could be fixed. Is there one thing at the top of your list that if I made you king for a day, you would say this is what I'm going to change about it?
There's some things that I would like to see changed. I'm not real sure that I would have the immediate answer on how they should be changed.
Right.
One of them being the transfer rules. You know, right now at San Angelo Central, we have been a beneficiary of receiving some good athletes because of the all boom that's taken place and people that have moved out to West Texas. But and I've seen this on Facebook, and there's a lot of conversation going on right now. And UIL and also the Athletic Directors Association and also the Texas High School Coaches Association about transfers and how we can slow down kids kind of moving where they want to. There's a definite problem, I think, with transfers. And unfortunately, I don't have the immediate answer. It'd be worth studying and trying to come up with some answers, and you'd have to have some really strong, influential people to come in. And when you made the decision to have the support to get it done, because there's a lot of strong programs right. That are strong because of the transfers
yeah,
that they
there's a lot at stake. We used to always tease your friend Ross Rogers. We used to tease Ross about how that that he always had a way of seeming like the good transfers would end up at his school. So I don't know if we teased you about that very much or not. We're visiting with former A&M Consolidated head football coach and athletic director Jim Slaughter, who's just recently retired and is going to start having a little bit more of a relaxed lifestyle. Before we ask the last relaxed lifestyle question, I wanted to ask you, today's kind of a good day to ask you, Coach, if you have, you know, you played and then you went on and played in college and you've coached for several years. We just won't say exactly how many years you coached, but do you have one or two good, of course, it's a family program now, Coach, remember that, but any two-a-day stories? I mean, we always think about people of our generation. Aubrey, the other guy on the show with me here, is my son's age, so he knows nothing about that. But when you and I were growing up, it was a little bit more harsh out there. Do you have any good stories that you remember, either as a player or a coach from two-a-days? I guess, you know, good or bad stories.
Well, I've got one. And this involved College Station. When I was at College Station and we had started two-a-days, and we were checking kids to make sure who was going to show up and if they weren't going to show up, why they weren't going to show up, trying to take the time to go talk to them. And I can remember one kid that told me that he was going to be there early. And we started early Monday morning, and he was supposed to be there around 6:30. He had picked up a lot of the stuff that he needed to be ready to go when they were in practice and everything, and he didn't show up. So I called his house, and he said, "I don't have a ride, Coach." So I said, "All right, I'll be there in about 5 minutes to pick you up." And it wasn't a house. It was an apartment. And I'll never forget, when I walked in, there was a guy passed out on one of the beds that was naked. The marijuana smell was so strong in the room that I got stoned before I got out of the apartment building, and I took the kid with me, and it turned out to be good. It was good for the kid, and it had a lot to do with changing his lifestyle later on in life, but it was something that I can remember thinking. You talk about somebody that needs athletics and needs some place to go and get out of this house. This kid did. So that was a very meaningful moment for me. And it showed the difference that we make. And As coaches, we talked about that for a long, long time.
When you played, Coach, how rough was it? I mean, I know the coaches that you had in high school obviously had a big impact on your life because you went into coaching and you've kind of devoted your life to that. But it was obviously a different time, and we didn't know a lot of the safety and health rules that we know now. But was it pretty hard? Was it kind of like we imagine and like we hear?
You know, one of the things with me that I can remember in a really big football game when I was in high school, and I was, you're right, my coaches went on, Bob Wright went on to College Station and was an assistant coach there with Emory Ballard. Spike Dykes was an assistant coach at Ballinger when I was there, and of course he went on and had a great career. They had a tremendous influence on my life, and I can remember when I first started coaching, all the things that we did, and I had some severe concussions. And there's people that would probably say, "Yeah, we wondered what's wrong with that guy. That explains everything." But I had some severe concussions and was sent back out onto the field because we didn't know any better.
Right.
And you know, they wanted me after a plane and everything. And I can remember started calling timeouts, and they finally took me off the field and said, "There's something wrong with this guy." And they did. They kept me out of the game the rest of the game. And the next day, I don't remember anything until the next day around noon. It's like a light went on, and I was back in to living and knowing what was going on and what was taking place.
Right. That's kind of how we do the radio show here every day, Coach, pretty much. We're finishing up with our good friend Jim Slaughter, and we want to wish him the best. David Campbell specifically asked me to pass the best wishes along to you.
Coach, thank you. I appreciate you.
The last thing, you know, I mean, you have a lot of friends in the Bryan College Station area and a lot of colleagues and fans and young men that played for you. So I have to ask you this as we finish up. What can our listeners do if they want to get in touch with you to set up a tee time so they can play with you? Do you have a website where they can sign up for
a time
and a course or whatever?
Yeah, I sure do. The good thing right now, I've had a lot of people. My golf game's not real good, and people are making money off of me, so I have a lot of people calling me just to get new income into their checking account.
Yeah, you better.
I'm easy.
Yeah, you better make sure that teacher retirement thing is set up right away so you can keep those funds balanced. Coach,
I hear you.
Thank you for the time. We do wish you the best. We appreciate you and what you've done for young people all over the state, and especially here in our area. And I hope you get that game on track and start taking some money out of those folks' pockets instead of putting it into them.
Me too, Larry. Okay. It's got to start happening.
Thank you, Coach. You take care.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thanks for the call.
That's a good guy right there, Aubrey. You didn't really get to know Jim when he was coaching here, but a lot of fun. He's it's probably the only coach I ever was on a regular beat when he had my number on his cell phone, and when he saw my number and he'd answer the phone and he'd say, "What the heck do you want?" And, you know, it's fun when you have that kind of relationship. But I know people around here there's a lot of people that are fans of Jim's, and we wish him the best. Lord have mercy and bless our hearts, but you and I would love to get to retirement at one of these days.
Hey, someday for me, I guess, a little ways down the road. That was today's High School Report brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer is proudly supporting the youth of our community. We're going to go to break. We'll come back and wrap up with the news. So stay with us. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone FM 102.7.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on The Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Hargrove Insurance and Atkinson Toyota in Bryan and Madisonville.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Everyone uses t-shirts to support their group, club, or business, but what makes a good t-shirt? It all starts with the artwork and design and an easy ordering process. So bring or send your ideas to Monograms and More and let their art department design the right t-shirt for your group or event. Why would you ever think of ordering t-shirts online when you can simply email your ideas to Monograms and More? Competitive pricing, a wide variety of shirt styles and colors, and fast turnaround makes Monograms and More the best choice. It's that simple. Call Monograms and More at 693-7773 or go online to monograms-more.com today.
Copy Bridge is an Aggieland tradition, serving their mouth-watering food for over 20 years to the folks of the Brazos Valley. And they want to invite you to enjoy a burger that you've come to know and love, which has been named Best of the Brazos for over a decade. And enjoy their award-winning goodness with $1.75 drafts all day, every Wednesday at both locations. Copy Bridge, serving Aggieland the best big burger in town for over two decades. On Harvey and Welburn, both in College Station.
We invite you to join us for the Junior League of Bryan College Station Stuff the Bus School Supply Drive, a community-wide collection of school supplies that benefits more than 16,000 children in our area. The event will take place Thursday, August 6th from 6:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Brazos Center and both HEB Tejas and HEB Tower Point locations between 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. For more information on how you can help and a list of supplies most needed, visit jlbcs.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902. On Sports Talk, Chip and Krista discuss Blake Shelton and Miranda Lambert's marital problems.
Blake filed 2 weeks ago because he received certain information about Miranda and the other guy that elevated things in his head from rumor to fact. We're told Blake has been very upset the last few weeks and told her she had to get her animals off his ranch.
Sports Talk, we're committed every day to the facts on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch.
Welcome back, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, joined by Sam Peschek to tell us what's going on out there in the world of news.
Well, Aubrey, our worlds are colliding with news and sports. Well, that's not really space news. That episode Friday. Not actual worlds colliding.
It's news news.
Yeah, Bubba Bean, former, or I guess always A&M running back, is going to come back to Bryan and start leading some youth and neighborhood outreach programs.
Cool.
Pretty soon. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated,
yeah.
I think.
Back in
76. Is that right? So he's
been a bit since the Bean was on the cover. But, yeah, he's coming back to do things in Bryan, help out in the community. Should be exciting to have him back around here.
Yeah.
There you go. What else we got?
Running through some cone drills, things like that. Yeah. take a lap.
Yeah. Just telling the kids how to get up and down, north and south. And south.
Yeah. There you go. But yeah, Texas A&M's new VP of Student Affairs, Daniel J. Pugh, started his first day today, mostly with meetings and things like that. You know, just
isn't everyone's first day just all meetings?
Yeah, not mine.
Oh yeah, you got thrown into the fire.
I had to work on my first day, and I haven't stopped since.
Well, it's like syllabus day for him. You know, the first day of school, you just get all the syllabi, whatever. It's his syllabus day. He just has to go into meetings.
And then he walks out after the first 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Except hopefully he can't do that.
No, they're hopefully he'd get fired. They're probably longer meetings than what we had.
But yeah, he's a pretty interesting dude. He wears bow ties, like, every day.
Okay.
To work, and he
rides a motorcycle. A new bow tie leader?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Replacing
Well, they've been without one since Arbo and Lofton left.
Yeah, that's right.
They didn't have an interim bow tie leader, but now that they've got full-time guy, that's good.
Yeah, he's going to live on campus, too. He's going to live in the VP of Student Affairs house. It's been vacant for a while. Tom Reber didn't live in there while he was interim VP, but Throckmorton Street has a new resident.
All right. Go knock on his door. Or don't. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, there. I think a couple months ago, there was a kid who thought he was really cool and accelerated off Throckmorton Street and almost drove his car into the house.
Don't do that.
No, not at all.
But say hi if you see him. Yeah, I don't know what he looks like, but if you see someone in a bow tie, say hi.
Or he rides a motorcycle, too. So if you, yeah. He's the one guy in Bryan College Station wearing a bow tie riding a motorcycle.
Yeah, I think we don't know this for sure, but I feel like we can make this jump. If there's someone else on in a bow tie on a motorcycle, we'll apologize tomorrow.
Yeah. you're not the guy.
We'll let y'all know. Yeah, what else we got out there?
Individual questioning for potential jurors in the Gabe Hall capital murder trial is underway right now.
Okay.
Jake Walker, our new courts reporter, is on that. He's been posting up over by the courthouse for the past couple weeks, I think, covering this. And God, every time I see that guy up on the TV, on the news, it just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a...
It's a weird...
It's going to be intense.
Yeah, definitely. Dr. Gerald Parker, VP for Public Health and Preparedness and Response at Texas A&M. He was named the interim... director of the Institute for Infectious Animal Diseases through the Department of Homeland Security Technology Center here at A&M.
Cool.
So it's getting some nationwide recognition for A&M. And that's pretty much it today.
We were speculating about jerseys earlier. As a fan of a fellow...